I'm pleased to be here, pleased to be with you here. I know there are alternatives to Buddhist meditation retreats over weekends here in London, so I'm conscious you have made a choice, and I would like to encourage you to honor this choice by giving yourself to the format. Much of these exercises have to do with not just a specific technique or a particular skill in tricking our attention into becoming more useful, but also simply with basically dedicating ourselves to be curious, even when it goes beyond what we would find immediately attractive. So much of progress, much of growth, much of widening of heart comes from a basic well-meaning willingness to attend to what's happening. Now that sounds quite easy, attend to what's happening, but often it is not easy. Because some of the things that are happening, they're either boring, or they're not attractive, or we believe to know them, or we would wish something else to happen. And that has a tremendous impact on the economy of our attention. And one of the radicalness in Buddhist contemplation exercises is that we try to disengage the availability of awareness only for things that we like. So we all have a strong bias in our awareness. Our attention favors things we deem pleasurable. You may not be aware of this, but this is a fairly current and it's a fairly transcultural phenomenon. You know, most of us want to feel good and to maximize feeling good, and we want to avoid feeling bad and to maximize getting away from things that make us feel bad. So, what exactly consists feeling good? We may differ quite considerably in this, but the fact that we wish for well-being, that we wish for pleasure, that we wish for agreeable sensory and mental experiences, we share. This is quite universal. So any serious attempt to cultivate the availability of both attention and awareness will face the challenge that this awareness already has made its choices. Yeah? It has already its own agenda. It's not necessarily a very declared agenda, but the agenda is already running. So meditation teachers, they do a little bit of label fraud. They give kind of simple sounding instruction and make it sound as it's possible to actually just sit there upright and follow your breath and become quiet, isn't it? That's how we make it sound. Now most people just sit down and fold the legs and establish mindfulness and try to follow the breath, become acutely aware that mindfulness generally does not want to follow the breath. It wants to do 10,000 other things. And it's quite a number to convince that mindfulness gently, persistently, kindly to actually attend to something I choose rather than attend to the things it is conditioned to, or it likes to run after, or likes to run away from. Yeah? This is generally a lot more difficult than the instructions sound. So I'm conscious of this, and I guess you're conscious of this, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And I would like with you to basically do very simple contemplative exercises in those 2 days to come. We'll be sitting, standing, maybe doing a few stretches, and walking meditation. I'll give some shorter reflections on aspects of practice, and I'll be available for questions. And that's the basic outline. The topic is it's a little pet topic of mine. I am a fond practitioner of Buddhist contemplative exercises for some 30 years, and I am delighting that mindfulness has become famous outside of the Buddhist circuit. And I am both passionate to help that and at the same time concerned that much of what makes mindfulness such an immense tool in Buddhist contemplative practices does not get lost. Because it's a strange function of mind, this mindfulness that has many, many facets that are not necessarily obvious and that are slightly refractory to psychological definitions, for example. So, after this, who is here for the first time doing meditation? Good. Do you have a good cushion? Okay. There's two spare cushions here. And I'd just like to start at the very beginning with how to use these things. I'd like to encourage as many of you to come onto the mats, actually. Just because there are chairs there, there's no need to actually populate them. You can populate the floor. So I have two fantastic cushions left here if there are shortage of cushion, and I'd like you to consider for a moment. Yes, you're welcome. I'm serious. This wasn't a rhetorical point. I'll hang on to this for demonstration purposes and you get it in 2 minutes. So the whole point of these cushions is they're not there to upholster your sitting experience. We're grateful to receive them from the Japanese tradition. They're called safus, and if they're genuine safus, they contain something like K-pop. Yes, they do. And this is a fantastic substance which you can pummel, and then it gets a nice loft. Yeah, and you can sit. If you don't pummel it, it loses that loft slowly and gets more like a flat pancake. Yeah, after a while. So when you want to use one of these things, then think of them as a wedge. Rather than something you sit on top of, you think of it as something you sit on the edge of. The basic idea is that it helps you get a slight angle here, and that it allows you to fill the small of your back. If you bother taking the hand and actually feel what the small of your back is doing right now. So the idea is to fill that part. If you fill that part, it means you're not either sagging or pushing, yeah? Either of those are strenuous, and in fact, they limit the movement of your diaphragm, which, you know, may sound a minor point, but your diaphragm decides a lot about the volume of your breathing, and that, again, decides about the oxygenation of your blood and so forth. So there are quite dramatic consequences from having a little bit of a forced posture or a sagging posture. Either way means you have to do more work. Yeah. In terms of gravity, it's also less fortunate. This is very strenuous. It holds. It's also bad for your digestive system, in fact. And this also, at the beginning, feels more comfortable, but after a short time, your head will get heavy and you will have to compensate. So try to find the small of your back, find a position for the small of your back that this is full, and that you give your weight via the sit bones onto that cushion or onto whatever sitting construction you have. Please, yeah, it's yours. Yeah. The next area to... There's a space in here. The next area to be conscious of is upper part of your chest. So many of us are hunched over screens, keyboards, laptops, books, papers, desks. So there's a kind of a tendency to collapse. And for some strange reason, the suggestion to human beings to be introspective seems to kind of translate as inversion. Yeah, so we kind of invert a little bit. So make a conscious effort to open this part. And one easy way of doing this is keep the axis of your gaze level. So rather than kind of looking down at the floor, you just look straight up and help yourself with the orientation of your gaze horizontally. So you're feeling the small of your back full, and you feel this opens. You kind of come into the space with this part of your body. You fill this part of your body with presence, with breath. You make yourself very conscious that this opens. Yeah. And the next one, you may close your eyes now. You check how your head actually rests. What we're looking for is a fulcrum point that makes that our head has the least amount of weight. So if you push your chin in front, and I'm really encouraging you to try doing this, and you pull it back, and these are the extremes, yeah? So you pull, you hear the sound of my voice changing, and you push. Now, these are the extremes. Now you look for something in the middle there, where that head has the least amount of weight, and where the tone of your muscles around the throat area and in your back is reasonably similar. Now you do that every time you sit down. You swivel your head a little bit and see whether there is something holding, blocking, and you're trying to release. We're doing an immense amount of tension around the posture of our head. As a species, this is definitely a sore spot in our chassis. Yeah? We're slightly over the hump in terms of evolution, though. And that head has become a little big. And if we're not very careful how we hold that head, it can be incredibly heavy. So we optimize. Always start at the bottom, lower back, sacral and lumbar region, then thoracic region, and finally the head. So please establish that uprightness. Sometimes it helps even to visualize being pulled up slightly from the highest point of your skull. Yeah? It goes to the topmost area in your cranium. And you visualize being pulled up like a puppet. Gently pulled up. And then this exaggerated uprightness, you relax into a little bit. I would suggest you do that every time you sit down today. I'm doing that. I have done that for many years and I keep doing this. And not because it's just a habit, but because I need it, to be frank with you. Your hands resting either on your knees or on your thighs or in your lap. And now before you do anything else, you just acknowledge what you actually feel. You acknowledge what gives you testimony that right now you are here, that right now you are awake, right now you are alive. What is it that makes me sure that this is real, that I am here, that this is happening? What tells me in the body that this body is alive? I'm not speaking of a philosophical meditation here. I'm speaking of a becoming conscious of my sense functions, becoming conscious of the fact that this body has weight, that it is warm, that it occupies space, that it is sensate. I can hear things. I feel a slight breeze on my naked arms, in my neck, in my face. I feel the warmth of my palms on my thighs. And I'm not sure whether it's the warmth of my thighs that the palms are feeling, or whether it's the other way around. I can have a lot of body sensation. Not just on the outside of the body, not just tactile sensations concerned with skin, but I can also sense that the body has experiences inside. There's an interoceptive awareness. Parts of this body know where other parts are. Proprioceptive awareness. My hips and my shoulders know whether they are above each other. So be aware, there's different qualities of sensations. Some of them on the outside, some of them on the inside. What right now is the dominant physical experience you have? What else is there? Can you choose going away from the most dominant experience, however pleasant or unpleasant it may be? Can you choose to be aware of other things in your body? Less loud, maybe.
Consider the weight, warmth, distribution of that weight, contact, texture underneath your fingertips. The cool of the air in here. The rhythms of the body, heartbeat, maybe you can feel your heartbeat. And the breath, and it's coming and going. If you don't feel any of this, just put a hand on your belly and actually feel that hand on your belly. Feel how the hand moves, how the belly moves underneath your hand. As soon as we close our eyes, generally there is a slight shift. Second, 2 seconds after that, something takes place in our mind, usually felt as an amplification of our inner life. For many people, this just means we are more clear what we think. Much of our attention in this culture is focused on cognitive, discursive processes. In other words, what we think, what we plan, what we remember, what we comment. But there are many other things happening that in their life. So one first thing we really consciously try to do is to shift attention from thinking to body processes, from commenting on the world of our experience and commenting upon the stories that run in our head, shifting the attention away from this. We don't try to stop the stories. We don't try to comment on the comments. We try to just shift attention from that part of my being that has to do with thinking to that part of my being that has to do with bodily sensation. So take stock. Take stock whether you feel your feet right now. How much of your feet you're feeling right now. Can you feel toes? Take a moment. How many? How many do you actually feel? Now I'm speaking of feeling, not of visualizing an anatomy table or remembering how they looked this morning when you stepped out of the shower. But actually, how much do you feel of your toes right now? If you don't feel any toes, what is the last bit you feel of your foot? Do you feel the sole? Do you feel the ankle? Just go there and hover for a moment. See whether something happens, whether something changes. Sometimes we go with our attention somewhere in the body, we send it there. We conceive of a part of our body and then we send the attention. That is, as if we go and live there for a moment. And lo and behold, some tingling starts, or some parts come onto the map that weren't on the map just a minute ago. Then you try doing that with the other foot. Then you look for your torso. How much do you feel of your shoulders? Your collarbones? Lower part of your back, pelvis, just quickly go there, feel what is there, and as if you go and live there for a moment, you live there and you listen and you feel and you touch. Belly, the front of your body, pit of your stomach, your rib cage, your chest. Just going there, living there for a moment, breathing into that region and feeling what there is to be felt. And now take a moment to find out where the experience of breathing is most clearly felt in the body. This is not the same for all of us, so find out where do you actually feel the movement of breathing most clearly right now in your own body. And bring a warm, a gentle, and yet a very curious attention to that area. So as if you were really discovering the breath. As if you hadn't been breathing all your life. And you feel how the body slightly expands, how your tissues, your muscles widen. You feel the resistance, and you feel the slight relaxation when the breath flows out of the body. Whatever you do and whatever you meet, treat it kindly. Be kindly curious. And when the mind slips away to thinking or to planning or to commenting, just kindly bring it back. Like a mother would bring back a child. Say, take it by the hand and say, come look here. Please make a choice where this is most noticeable in the body that you are breathing, and stay with your attention in that area. Try to sustain continual friendly attentiveness to the slight changes in your sensations when the breath comes into the body and the breath goes out of the body. The focus of your attention is not the breath, but it is the sensations that are connected with the breath. So whatever area of body is easiest for you to be with, this is the area you're trying to inhabit, fully inhabit with your attention right now. Good. I'll be walking through the lines and have a look at your postures. Please don't get scared.